Hare Krishna. So, there's a wonderful, I guess most of you know, but there is initiations today at the prison house that Sri Darshan Prabhu visits, and Bhakti Vikash Maharaj will be doing initiations through Chandrasekhar Prabhu, who will be officiating the presentations. So we request all the devotees who are present here and who are present on the radio to pray for this wonderful devotee. His name is Robert. He is he's a very devout Jew, and he met the devotees and he deepened his faith in God, and at this time he's wanting to take initiations. So please pray for him. Hare Krishna. No, the initiations is in the prison house. Is in the prison, yeah. Special. They're booking if you want to go. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
I already got a garland room. I'm being garlanded already. Nityananda Prabhu gave something.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Gauranita Jaya Gauranita Jaya Gauranita Jaya Gauranita. Jaya Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki. So I... Hare Krishna. I'm not so sure whether we are going to do a class. Let's just... Can you get the mic, please? Oh, it's already there. Tomorrow is the wonderful appearance day of Lord Sri Balaram Ki. And it is wonderful if we can share our realizations, our thoughts, our appreciations, our stories, histories of Lord Balaram, so that it prepares us for the wonderful appearance of Lord Balaram. Is that okay? I should first speak.
What should I speak?
There's a section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that describes Lord Balaram.
Yeah. It does, there is. The question is where?
Adi Leela chapter 4.
Okay, let's find it.
If it's just, or you look in the index, we'll see it's got an index. I don't know if that one volume is the index.
Chapter 5. Let's do this.
भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमः ज्ञानतिमिरन्ध्रस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. So reading today from Chapter 5, Adi Leela, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is not different from the pastimes of Lord Krishna, Vyasadeva incarnated as Krishna Raj Kaviraj Goswami, to then discuss the beautiful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. These are from the diaries of Murari Gupta. In the first, the Adi Leela is described mostly through the diaries of Murari Gupta, and then the Madhya and the Anta Leela in the diaries of Swarup Damodar Goswami. But so let's maybe start a little bit from the introduction. Srila Prabhupada writes, on the Vaikuntha planet, in every universe is an ocean of milk, and within that ocean is an island called Shvetadvipa, where Lord Vishnu lives. Therefore, this chapter describes two Shvetadvipas. One in the abode of Krishna and the other in the ocean of milk in every universe. The Shvetadvipa in the abode of Krishna is identical with Vrindavan Dham, which is the place where Krishna appears himself to display his loving pastimes. In the Shvetadipa, within every universe is a Shesha form of Godhead who serves Vishnu by assuming the form of his umbrella, slippers, couch, pillows, garments, residence, sacred thread, throne, and so on. Lord Baladev in Krishna Loka is Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu is the original Shankarshan and Mahasankarshan, and his expansions as the Purushas in the universes are plenary expansions of Nityananda Prabhu. In this chapter, the author has described the history of his leaving home for a personal pilgrimage in Vrindavan and his achieving of success there. So, then he describes a little bit about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In this description, it is revealed that the author's original paternal home and birthplace were in the district of Katwa, in the village of Jhamadapur, which is near Naihati. Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother invited Sri Minaketana Ramadas, a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, to his home. But a priest named Gunanarva Mishra did not receive him well, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother, not recognizing the glories of Lord Nityananda, also took sides with the priest. Therefore, Ramdas became sorry, broke his flute and went away. This was a great disaster for the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. But on that very night, Lord Nityananda Prabhu himself graced Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in a dream and ordered him to leave on the next day for Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, welcome. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes,
Vande Ananta Bhuteshwaram Shri Nityanandam Ishwaram Yasheshaya Tatsvarupam Agyenapi Nirupyate.
Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Nityananda, Lord Shri Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
All glories to Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'm just going to read the translations from now on. I have described the glory, unless you want me to. I have described the glory of Sri Krishna Chaitanya in 6 verses. Now, in 5 verses, I shall describe the glory of Lord Nityananda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. Purport: Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead, and his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The Personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Swamsa, and forms that have limited potencies, the living entities, are called Vibhinnamsha. Text 5. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Purport: Balaram is a Swamsa expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, and he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. Text 6. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvip as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda. Text 7. May Shri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance, Shankarshan, Sheshanag, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and the ocean of milk, are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Hari Bol. Is that saying, stop it? Text 8. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. Do you know what those five forms are? Balaram expands in five forms to serve. Yes, that's right. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes five other forms of Lord Krishna. You think? I think it's like Mahavishnu, Garbha Vishnu, Garbhadash, all of those things. Something like that. Let's see, maybe Srila Prabhupada writes in the... Then text 9. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms. So there's 5 + 4, 9 total. So text 10. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation, and in the form of Lord Shesha, he serves Krishna in various ways. Purport. Okay, here it is. According to expert opinion, Balaram, as the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarshan. Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in five forms. Mahasankarshan, Karana Bhidyashai, Garbhodakshai, Kshirodakshai, and Sesha. These five plenary expansions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. Really? I didn't know. Even for the spiritual cosmic manifestations. In these five forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna in his activities. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations, whereas Sesha is responsible for personal service to the Lord. Sesha is called Ananta or unlimited because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. Sri Balaram is a servant of Godhead who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. In all affairs of existence and knowledge. So Sat and Chit, not an Ananda. I think that's where Srimati Radha. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servant of God at Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association. Text 11. In all the forms he tastes the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. That same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Lord Gaurasundar. Text 12. I've explained the seventh verse in four subsequent verses. By these verses, all the world can know the truth about Lord Nityananda. Where do you want me to stop? Any thoughts so far? Any realizations so far? Text 13. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarshan in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Anuruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka far beyond the material creation. Purport. This is a verse from Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami's diary. It appears as the eighth of the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Text 14. Beyond the material nature lies a realm known as Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. Like Lord Krishna himself, it possesses all transcendental attributes, such as the six opulences. So even the Paravyoma possesses all the six opulences of Lord Krishna. Pretty powerful. Purport. According to Sankhya philosophy, the material cosmos is composed of 24 elements, the five gross elements, the three subtle elements, the five knowledge-acquiring senses, the five active senses, the five objects of sense pleasure, and the Mahatattva, the total material energy. Empiric philosophers, unable to go beyond these elements, speculate that anything beyond them must be avyakta or inexplicable. But the world beyond the 24 elements is not inexplicable, for it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita as the eternal Sanatana nature. Beyond the manifested and unmanifested existence of material nature, vyakta avyakta is the Sanatana nature. Parastasmastu bhavanyo vyakta avyakta sanatanaha, which is called paravyoma or the spiritual sky. Since that nature is spiritual in quality, there are no qualitative differences there. Everything there is spiritual. Everything is good and everything possesses the spiritual form of Sri Krishna himself. That spiritual sky is the manifested internal potency of Sri Krishna. It is distinct from the material sky manifested by his external potency. The all-pervading Brahman, composed of the impersonal glowing rays of Sri Krishna, exists in the spiritual world with the Vaikuntha planets. We can get some idea of the spiritual sky by comparison to the material sky, for the rays of the sun and the material sky can be compared to the Brahmajyoti, the glowing rays of the personality of Godhead. In the Brahmajyoti, there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets, which are spiritual and therefore self-luminous, with a glow many times greater than that of the sun. The personality of God, Shri Krishna, his innumerable plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions dominate each Vaikuntha planet. In the highest region of the spiritual sky is the planet called Krishna Loka, which has three divisions, namely Dwarka, Mathura, and Goloka, or Gokul. To a gross materialist, this kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, is certainly a mystery. But to an ignorant man, everything is a mystery for want of sufficient knowledge. The kingdom of God is not a myth. Even the material planets, which float over our heads in the millions and billions, are still a mystery to the ignorant. Material scientists are now attempting to penetrate this mystery, and a day may come when the people of this earth will be able to travel in outer space and see the variegatedness of these millions of planets with their own eyes. In every planet, there is as much material variegatedness as we find in our own planet. This planet Earth is but an insignificant spot in the cosmic structure. Dang. Hare Krishna. Yet foolish men, puffed up by a false sense of scientific advancement, have concentrated their energy in the pursuit of so-called economic development on this planet, not knowing of the variegated economic facilities available on other planets. According to modern astronomy, the gravity of the moon is different from that of the Earth. Therefore, one who goes to the moon will be able to pick up large weights and jump vast distances. In the Ramayana, Hanuman is described as being able to lift huge weights as heavy as hills and jump over the ocean. Modern astronomy has confirmed that this is indeed possible. Defying gravity. The disease of the modern civilized man is his disbelief of everything in the revealed scriptures. Faithless non-believers cannot make progress in spiritual realization, for they cannot understand the spiritual potency. The small fruit of a banyan contains hundreds of seeds, and in each seed is the potency to produce another banyan tree, with the potency to produce millions more of such trees. This law of nature is visible before us, although how it works is beyond our understanding. This is but an insignificant example of the potency of Godhead. There are many similar phenomena that no scientist can explain. Everything is in fact inconceivable, for the truth is revealed only to the proper persons. Although there are varieties of personalities from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, all of whom are living beings, their development of knowledge is different. Therefore, we have to gather knowledge from the right source. Indeed, in reality, we can get knowledge only from the Vedic sources. The four Vedas with their supplementary Puranas, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, and the corollaries, which are known as Smritis, are all authorized sources of knowledge. If we were all to gather knowledge, we must gather it from these sources without hesitation. Revealed knowledge may be, in the beginning, be unbelievable because of our paradoxical desire to verify everything with our tiny brains. That's what Srila Prabhupada says, tiny, it's not tiny, tiny brains. But the speculative means of attaining knowledge is always imperfect. The perfect knowledge propounded in the revealed scriptures is confirmed by the great acharyas who have left ample commentations upon them. None of these acharyas has disbelieved in the shastras. One who disbelieves in the shastras is an atheist. And we should not consult an atheist, however great he may be. A staunch believer in the shastras with all their diversities is the right person from whom to gather real knowledge. Such knowledge may seem inconceivable in the beginning, but when put forward with the proper authority, its meaning is revealed, and then one no longer has any doubts about it. Yeah.
There's an example that's given by Srila Prabhupada of a thief who doesn't have faith in the government.
Just thieves?
A thief. So if a thief doesn't have faith in the government, but the law of the government still controls the thief. So he said even though those modern scientists, they say that they have no faith in God, but still they can't deny that God's the law of God is controlling them. So he said, they say, well, it's not God, it's nature. The prophet said, you can say nature or you can say God, but you have to admit that you're being controlled. So it's not a matter of whether someone has faith in God or not. It's simply a matter of recognizing that there are laws that are controlling all of us. That's Prabhupada's argument. One of them.
The interesting thing, is the fact of that everything is conscious. And as we speak, you know, this, you know, to one extent we see from matter is unconscious. But that same matter, when used in the service of Krishna, becomes Krishnaized. And since it is Krishnaized, it has the quality of Krishna, which means it becomes conscious. And it is very difficult to accept that. That our relationships with the world that we associate with is a conscious relationship. Sri Balaram expands himself to serve Sri Krishna in so many different ways. The altar is Lord Balaram. What else did he say? So many different things. The shoes, the bed, the clothing, the slippers, the planets itself is also expansions of Lord Balaram, which is very interesting. Yes, of course, in his, you know, in his five cosmic manifestations, some material and some spiritual, but still it's Lord Balaram doing. I mean, if they are expansions of Lord Balaram, they are conscious. They are avyakta. They are manifest sometimes and unmanifest sometimes, and we get too carried away with this whole manifest, unmanifest drama. Not realizing that it is part of the Leela of the Lord. that Krishna is always in control of his play. And to actually recognize the presence of Lord Balaram in everything that we do is really amazing. Yes. The service that we do is a manifestation of Lord Balaram's energies, not our own energies. And hence, you know, yogyata vichare kachunai pai, tumara karuna saravan. I think Narottam Das Thakur prays that I don't have any qualifications, my dear Gurudev, it is your qualifications that is possible. And so the Chaitya Guru, the original Guru, is Lord Balaram, who is performing so many different activities through us. Otherwise, how can we serve something that is unlimited? Yes. It's interesting, the material scientists get there, you know, they're there, but they don't really understand this fact that there is a conscious living person with beautiful emotions that is behind all of this. This come to this whole idea of this black hole. Right? It is an unlimited potency to absorb everything. And when a star dies, it becomes a black hole, you know. That, and people believe that. It's just amazing what people can believe. But if we can believe that, then we can believe that there is an unlimited Supreme Person who has an unlimited desire, who is unlimited in all his opulences, who is unlimited in his energies, who has the ability to create unlimited forms that eventually participate in his pastimes unlimitedly. Yes.
There's a new billboard up for the Perot Museum that says that there are more stars in the sky than sand on the beach of the ocean.
That's right. That's right.
That's unlimited.
That's right. Deeparchireva hi dashantara vapyupeta deepayate vivrata hetu samana dharma. There are millions and millions of these candles. What is that verse in the Bhagavatam where the incarnations of Krishna are like the unlimited waves of the ocean? Yes, unlimited waves to keep coming, some small, some big, some really big, some tsunamis, some little itty bitty waves. Yes, but they're all potencies of Sri Krishna manifested through Lord Balaram. And it is amazing how Lord Balaram has an unlimited desire to serve Krishna in so many unlimited different ways. What he cannot do, what he does not do. Yes.
So the five expansions was a very wonderful addition, in the sense we knew, we've been hearing about the Lord expanding himself to serve Krishna in all forms. So I could connect the dots that when the five expansions were mentioned, Mahasankarshan, Karanodakshai, Garbhodakshai, Shirodakshai, and Shesha. So the distinction was clear that the first four are more in the function of creation, and then Shesha's expansion is in service. And then it also connects the dots that Shirodakshai Vishnu is the, you know, Paramatma in the heart, and that is why Balaramji is called as the Adiguru.
Adiguru.
Because he's the one who keeps listening to the faint voice life after life. When the soul is wandering in so many bodies, the moment there is some desire to know more how Lord Balaram in, as you know, Shivadakshaya Vishnu in the Paramatma form, he just immediately picks up those vibes and manifests, interjects our life with guru or, you know, devotees of the Lord, and somehow starts creating those arrangements for the soul to start its journey back. So just wanted to share that.
Nice.
Those five, that kind of sums up the all the services that Lord Balaram does towards Krishna. And the more I contemplate on it, obviously this is probably the most important service that Lord Balaram does, is to bring all the souls back to Krishna, to give Krishna as much, I mean, to give him unlimited pleasure. So that Guru Tattva is also Lord Balaram. So.
Such beautiful.
Yeah.
Amazing. The Vedic scriptures don't, the differentiation is this whole idea of Guru. There is something, the culture of the Vedas is so strongly based on the acceptance of an authority at all points. You know, last week we went through this ISKCON disciples course, and the whole thing just basically is rooted, you will see it, Srila Prabhupada is so rooted in accepting an authority and then getting the energies, the power from the authorities to do wonderful things. That the authorities that we accept empower, inspire, encourage, facilitate in our service. Yes, the parampara is not so much into doing it themselves. They are about empowerment. But, and the only thing that's required is acceptance. Is that acceptance that, you know, I accept you as my Prabhu. And in that acceptance comes the empowerment. To the depth and the level that we accept, to that level we are empowered. And in that empowerment is our happiness. Enlivenment. Enlivened. Roaring kirtan. Yes, beautiful prasadam, amazing prasadam. Yes. Wonderful katha, perfect questions, perfect answers. Yes. It is all present within the instruction of the authority of the Guru. And then as Shankararanya Prabhu was saying, it is Lord Balaram's primary purpose to provide that direction for the lost soul, so that he may or she may accept that that direction. So, anyways, unless there are more thoughts, Renu Prasad Prabhu Ki Jai. Everyone wants authorities. It's very innate. It is a very natural thing for everyone to accept authority. And I mean, yeah, the word sounds a little authoritarian. Authority is beautiful. Authority is shelter. Authority is support. Authority is inspiration, as we discussed. Authority is saving time. And the scientists see that the concern is that we are like that too, to a lesser extent. Because we are... The whole idea of authority is control, right? I am an authority on this subject because I know everything. I know everything. Since I know everything, I can enjoy it. But then we realize that, well, that's not really true. So now I'll keep hacking at it till the time I can really figure out the formula for enjoying independent of everything else. That's the same thing that we as aspiring spiritualists are looking for, is that we want to enjoy unlimitedly. That's the nature of the soul. Nothing wrong in that, except that it has to be done in relationship with Krishna. The materialists are doing the same thing. They are also trying to find a means of enjoyment unlimitedly. Yes, whether it is in the finding of the various millions of planets or in the discovery of so many different medicines, whatever it is. It is there, but then finally it breaks down because there's no Krishna. There's no consciousness. It's not conscious. And as conscious beings, we can only enjoy when we are in relationship with something that's conscious. Yes. So.
The argument to that is that my freedom allows me to enjoy. Why should I accept you as an authority and have you telling me what to do when I can? Because that's going to restrict. My enjoyment. Yeah.
That is why pratyaksha avagamam dharmam. That is, you actually experience it. I'm not telling you do this. I'm telling you want to enjoy. Yeah, pratyaksha avagamam raja vidya raja guhyam pavitram adam uttamam pratyaksha. Pratyaksha pramana is usually not recommended, but then Krishna is saying, pratyaksha, you actually experience spirituality. You experience my love. You experience consciousness, and then people do, right? Or sit down and do a little bit. Okay, be conscious. Well, this whole thing about mindfulness, and practically everything is talking about mindfulness and mindful eating and mindful. That's wonderful. It's just the same manifestation of the different things. All right, fine. You call it a different name. But it is actually experience being conscious for a few seconds a day.
Yes. I have an idea for a company called Think Inside of the Box.
Think Inside of the Box. Yes, Think Inside the Box. So that's it. It is in our desire, to enjoy that we... have all these different things. And Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, right? I mean, you know, maybe one day the material scientists, that the scientists will figure out so much variegatedness is there in all these different planets, and they will figure out how to go to outer space and whatever else it is. And this wonderful, I mean, it's really amazing how Srila Prabhupada is thinking, right? Hanuman is carrying all these different mountains, and he says, when you go to the moon, you realize that you can carry this big rock because gravity works, 6x less or whatever, some x number of times less than what it works on Earth. It's really amazing how Srila Prabhupada is looking at this whole perspective and seeing that this is how the different planetary systems work. Don't be amazed by all of this. What you were not being able to do a few years ago, whoever thought of flying? And when we talked about flying, and when, Lord Ram came on an airplane, which is Lord Balaram, that whole airplane was Lord Balaram, flew from one place to the other on the speed of the mind or whatever. And they're saying, no, that's not possible. Then they figured out, okay, now we can fly too. Except that you use fuel, which is nasty. But they're trying the same thing that we are doing, except that we have Krishna and we have faith in Krishna, and that we have the understanding, thankfully, due to the grace of Srila Prabhupada, that everything is possible.
You know, they,
to Krishna.
On one hand, they reject authority, you know, in the name of it restricting their freedom. But on the other hand, the whole system is based, the whole Western society is based on accepting authority. You know, somebody gets a medical problem, right, they're going to die. They immediately relinquish their so-called independence and they accept the authority of an expert doctor. Somebody has a legal problem, they're going to go to prison. They immediately relinquish their so-called freedom, their independence, and they accept the authority of an expert doctor. So on one hand, they're saying, you know, we're free, who are you to tell me what to do? You know, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and that's my claim to happiness. But on the other hand, the whole system is based on accepting an authority for everything you do.
Yeah, I think eventually science will gravitate towards it if we preach strongly, if we preach properly, if we actually get deep into the understanding of what the Vedas have been able to provide. You know, people, there is now the acceptance of Ayurveda, and in fact, several doctors are looking at natural means of healing mind over body, the whole idea that the mind can actually heal, and so on and so forth. And then even questioning their own assumptions, questioning the whole premise behind which, I mean, they're questioning everything now, whether the earth is round or not, I mean, or whatever it is. Yes, they're questioning everything, because there is, at some point of time, there are certain axioms, there are certain things that were made, certain assumptions that were made that said that this is there and this is that and so on and so forth. But, and that's the whole idea of the scientific process, that to question everything. And just like in the olden days, you know, you can't be a philosopher unless you have a philosophy. And so you can't be a great scientist if you don't disprove or prove your science is better than others. And so now they're gravitating, and so all of this is gravitating towards a natural means, which is present in the Vedas already, but they are rediscovering it. It's basically eating like that, right? Yes. Doing all these different mechanisms to come to the same conclusion that the Vedas are coming to, which is very natural. It's just save yourself some time. And it's present in the Vedas. Now, how do you get to that thing? Two things. One is that as devotees, we have to be confident that everything is in the Vedas. And that's hard. We are still not very convinced about that. Yes. We are not convinced that, completely convinced at least, that the Vedas provide everything. Whether it's the kind of diet that needs to be had, whether it's the amount of sleep that needs to be had, the lifestyle that we are living. We're not convinced. If we did, then we would, as Shankararanya Prabhu was saying yesterday, gravitate towards the Varnashram system.
Does that mean we'd wake up from Mangalarti?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, more than that, I think it means that we wouldn't use electricity. So that when the sun goes down, we are off to bed. No other options, right?
Yeah,
no other options.
I saw this report that if you turn on a computer or a cell phone, the screen affects the melatonin in your body, yeah, and it creates this conception of your being in daylight. And so you'll stay awake another hour to 2 hours just by sitting in front of a screen, a television, or a computer, or a phone.
Exactly. So many different things, right? I mean, so to come back... To come back. But is it possible? I don't know. I mean, for some, yes. For some, yes. For some, no. So the question really is not so much that whether, you know, whether the Vedas are right or not. The question is, do we have faith in the Vedas? Yes. Do we have faith in what the Vedas are saying in terms of the lifestyle that we are supposed to live, even as devotees? And then once we are convinced, the next phase is, we go out and actually teach, educate. Yeah, systematic propagation, isn't that what Srila Prabhupada said? I think first, this of ISKCON, a systematic propagation. We have a system in place, put a system in place that propagates what? The Vedic knowledge. Which is not, you know, just, you know, give up everything, go to the forest. No. It is essential in every phase of your life, how you procreate, how, you know, all the sense, right from how you're born all the way to how you die. It's all in there. Yes. And the scientists are slowly gravitating towards it. Everything is, it's just amazing. You know, vegan food. You know, be vegetarian. Yeah, yes, the devotees have been trying to tell us, you know, be vegetarians, and no one listened. And finally some doctor basically says, well, if you're vegetarian, you reduce your heart disease by 50% or something like that. All of a sudden, people want to be vegetarian. Yes. The same thing. It's just shut up and listen, but we don't. Right, we don't. I mean, and so we have accepted a little bit of the Vedas. And Srila Prabhupada has, you know, kind of boiled it down to the four basic principles. And even that we find difficult to follow. Yes. I think biggest problem in our disciples' course most devotees had was onions and garlic. Yeah, it's onions, garlic, and tea and coffee are responsible for probably like 90% of at least the Indian congregation not joining the Hare Krishnas. Probably 99. What? What's wrong with you people? Yes. But yeah, I mean, it's in the Vedas. It's right there. You know, this is why you don't have in. There's the emotional reason. There's the mental reason. There's a physical reason too. Yes, onions and garlic are, they increase the level of magnesium, or rather they deplete magnesium in your body, which results in the hardening of your cells. And this is all proven scientific theory, and they'll eventually come up with that and say, don't eat onions and garlic. Is it hardening of the cells which causes diseases like heart problems? Yes, your bones become, there's more calcium than magnesium. The magnesium is responsible for the cells to be more, what is it called? Spongy, flexible. Yeah. And the calcium is responsible for, so you need calcium, but you need magnesium too. So if you are depleting your magnesium through onions and garlic, that's not going to help. So many different things eventually will lead us to the same conclusion. So just listen. So why not just listen? They don't listen because we are not preaching systematically. And I think the onus is on us rather than... They will come up with their own ideas, like children come up with so many different ways to hurt themselves, you know. You know, you look at children and they can write books on how to, you know, break their head. They can write entire volumes of books on how to do that.
There's a book that was released a couple years ago called 1001 Ways How to Commit Suicide.
There you go.
You know, like if life's
thankfully
too,
kids can't write.
If things are too difficult, you can't, you know, get things together. You know, just pull your car in the garage, close the garage door, roll down the windows, open a beer and die with a smile on your face. I mean, it's comedy, you know, but it's 50% of it's true, you know.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, it's the children will do whatever they're supposed to be doing. Yes, it's just that the scientists have a larger toy box to play with.
Or a sandbox. They can dig their bones up and
whatever you want to call it, right? But at the same time, there is also, as responsible servitors of Lord Sri Balaram, we have the means. Srila Prabhupada gave us all the means. The food, the books, the kirtan. Yes, Harinam, food for life, book distribution. Yes, the fundamentals to bring people. And then he gave the association of devotees, the Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we have to really get our act together to put the society together in a way that people feel inspired to come. Yes, and participate. And not just basically come here and feel that I'm I have to prove myself now in a society of devotees. No, we come here to be happy. Yes.
That's isn't that the difference between a cult and a religion?
Then, absolutely. A culture and a cult. Yes.
You know, I just wanted to offer something. The owners of India Bazaar are giving us free use of this beautiful pavilion that they have. It's got heating and fans in it, but it's about maybe 3/4 the size of the temple room, free use for any kind of program we want. And they're willing to, you know, whether it's educational or whether it's for children or for adults or kirtan or lecture series or whatever. And their advertisement, they'll advertise our programs and it goes to 70,000 families.
Yeah. Yeah, see,
I
so
think
many,
it's a great opportunity.
People are willing, not just India Bazaar. I can tell you that practically every library in the city of Dallas and in all other cities have, you know, they provide us free facilities. You can just, you have to book the place and then the place is available, audio, visuals, everything available for you to be able to do what you want to. You can advertise in the libraries. But we'll get there. We'll get there, that's for sure. But we need some prasadam before that. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to Lord Shivalram. All glories to Lord Nityananda Ram. All glories to the assembled devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaur.
Ras Raj Prabhu ki. Thanks for giving class.